should teach them everything, to obey everything that Jesus commanded, and he would be with us till the end. Amen? But Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." The end comes when Jesus comes back for the second time. The end hasn't come yet. Why hasn't the end come? We haven't finished the task. We have to get this gospel that has changed our lives to all nations. And the nations that we'll be working in now across North Africa represents 200 million people, 99% Muslim, that have never heard the true gospel that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. He is the Son of God who changes and redeems all things. And it's not just going to be us. One of the things the Lord told me many years ago, he's forming an international team. We already have people from Foursquare that are from Chile and from Mexico and from the United States and from Holland. And there's African nations that are sending people there to work. We're just all workers to share the gospel. And when we finish, many people are saying, when we finish evangelizing this part of the world, Jesus will come. How many want Jesus to come? I remember sometimes when you're talking in a youth group, I don't know if this ever crossed any of your minds, maybe you're in your 20s and you're engaged to get married. I've heard this story many times, and they hear, how many want Jesus to come? And sometimes the young people say, not quite yet. I want to get married first. But the marriage of all marriages is when the church of Jesus Christ married Jesus, and he is our Lord, our protector, our provider for all eternity. And that marriage is coming soon. But first he says, make sure that everyone hears. We were talking about the blood of Jesus. Now, in Nigeria, our Foursquare church is very strong. Hundreds of thousands are part of our church there. I believe some number like that. And in many other nations, Foursquare, along with other denominations, have won millions and millions and millions. But I want to ask you a question. In Morocco, in Algeria, in Tunisia, Libya, and Egypt, where there are very, very few believers, do you think that Jesus poured out his blood on the cross so that in heaven there'll be maybe 25 Moroccans and 15 Algerians? And no, I believe that it's God's divine purpose that out of those 200 million that live in North Africa, there will be millions in heaven that we will call brothers and sisters. But in order for that to happen, we need the Lord to do some great miracles. So I want to talk to you about two ways that people are working. Probably you've shared your faith with other people. How many have shared their faith with people who did not want to listen, did not want to accept the gospel, and did not want to get saved right away? Has anyone? I know I have. You share the gospel with family members, with friends, and they say, oh, I don't need that. Well, when you go to North Africa and you share about Jesus, they all say, we don't need that. Right across the board. But I want to tell you, how many of you have shared your faith and prayed and shared your faith and prayed, and over the course of many years, a family member or a friend, after much time, finally received the Lord? Have you ever prayed for someone and shared your faith and it took years? In my case, I prayed almost daily for my sister, my older sister. She was introduced to the Lord as a young woman. Our family was Christian family. And then you come to your teenage years and you're in high school and you want all the fun things that the world has to offer. And then the world destroys you. You lose your faith and become broken. And that was the case of my sister. But she wasn't ready to turn her life over to the Lord. So I prayed and prayed. I would talk to her about the Lord for 10 years. She really didn't want to hear. Finally, I gave her a Christian book and prayed. She read the book and received Jesus. Amen. And so bringing people to the Lord always requires three things that we all do around the world. We pray that the Lord would prepare their hearts. We provide for those who are serving in the church. We give our offerings, and then comes training, equipping, and we all become disciples. And then we proclaim the word of God. We just tell them that Jesus is Lord. And when they believe, new life happens. Now, sometimes it's very, very, very slow in North Africa. And I can tell you that in Nashville on Thursday, I was able to share the story of a faithful servant working in Morocco. He learned the language, loved the people, prayed and prayed. And after 10 years, not one had received the Lord. They kept on saying no. But just a short time ago, he led the first person to the Lord. Wow, praise the Lord. That's a lot of work. Now that model, I do not believe, nor those working in that region, is God's perfect plan. Because if the Lord wants there to be millions and millions of North Africans in his eternal kingdom, and we win one every 10 years, then the second coming of Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to give you an exact date, but if we win one or two every 10 years, he'll come back more or less in the year 15,550. Or even longer. However, I want to tell you a story. And at the end of our time here, I'm going to pray with you, a prayer that's inside this card for North Africa, about how God can accelerate, how God can advance, how God can accomplish things that we cannot do. And it's only by the power of prayer, because then God gets all the glory. Let me tell you a story. There were people, a group of 10, praying for the Shia Muslims. That's a particular group, mostly in Iran and Iraq. And they begin to pray, Lord, do something great. And then the Lord responded to them. How many have ever had the Lord speak to them? And the Lord responded to them, you do not have the faith to believe for what I want to do. And they felt very bad. And they thought to themselves, what would be something great that only God could do? And they thought of two things. Only God can save the religious leaders called imams, and they have tremendous influence, just like when God saved the Apostle Paul on the road of Damascus, and then Paul began to save the multitudes. Because he was a leader, he knew the scriptures, he knew the ways of the people, and he was powerful. So they said, Lord, begin to save the religious leaders. But another thing we want you to do, which is maybe even bigger, we're tired of people coming to the Lord one at a time, one man, one woman. When you leave Islam and become a Christian, you become an outcast. Your family rejects you. You might lose your job. Your whole social structure begins to crumble. So they said, Lord, we want you to do something great. And they knew that the Lord was using dreams. The Lord uses dreams, and he appears in dreams, and he shows things to Muslims in dreams, because Muhammad received dreams. The people believe that the primary way that God speaks to them is through dreams. Knowing this, they said, Lord, send the same dream on the same night to a big group of people so they will save and be saved quickly and form a new Christian community. So they began to pray. And they began to recruit people to pray by the thousands in China, Korea, the United States, all around the world. They're saying, pray that the Lord would send the same dream to a big group of Shia Muslims the same night. And then the answer came. Not exactly like you might expect, but in the end it was powerful. A woman came and told a story of what the Lord had recently done among the Shia Muslims, She says, oh, you've been praying for them. Let me tell you of a miracle that God did. God told the family, I want you to go to this particular town among the Shia Muslims, and I want you to establish my church. So they said, yes, sir. And they went. And as they began their ministry, not everyone was happy. And one night, three religious leaders with hoods over their head came to the door, knocked on the door. The pastor answered the door. One of them took a gun and shot the pastor through the head. Dead. But the Lord was not surprised, and he called another family to go to the same town and said, establish my church. Knowing the story, they said, Lord, we belong to you. We were bought by your precious blood. We are not our own. We've been purchased at a price. And they went. And after a short time of being there, the same three hooded men came to the door. The pastor answered the door. They put a hood over his head, threw him in the trunk of the car, and drove off. And he said to himself, Lord, I knew that this might happen. Please protect my wife and kids. Provide for them. I trust in you. And they drove him for a long time. They stopped, and he still had the hood on his head. They took him upstairs to an upper room, and they took the hood off. And they began to talk to him. And they said, do you know the man that was in your apartment before you got there? Yes, I know about him. I'm the one who shot him. And then he said something surprising. But don't be scared. He's trembling, right? He says, do you see these 900 men out here? He bows his head. Yes, I see them. Thinking that there might be soon a public execution where with one sword they just cut your head off. Yes, I see them. The night that we killed the man in the apartment before you, all 900 had the same dream. They dreamed that there was blood all over their hands and arms, that they were guilty, and it was impossible to wash it off. However, in the dream they heard a voice saying, there will be a man who will tell you how to become free from your sins. Are you that man? He preached Jesus Christ, and all 900 received the Lord. But then, just like the story of the Philippian jailer, when Paul said, you and your household will receive the Lord, the 900 men went back to their homes, and all their wives and children received the Lord, and in 1 week, over 3,000. Now, that happened as a result of thousands of people praying, God, do a work. Now, we can win one per 10 years, or we can pray for major breakthroughs and see 3,000 come to the Lord in a week. Which one's better? The second one. So my wife and I, as your pastor, had a fruitful ministry in Nigeria. We had a fruitful ministry in Dominican Republic. And now we go to what they say is one of the hardest places in the world where the people don't get saved. And I go there with my wife with fear and trembling, thinking that I don't want to serve there for 10 years to see one person come to the Lord. What I want to see is that you all, and we've been to lots of churches as well, go to North Africa with us in prayer. And you begin to pray, Lord, you prepare the hearts of the people. Through dreams, healings, miracles, visions, you do it, Lord, because if you do it, millions will come in. If we do it, we can accidentally save one every 10 years. But the Lord wants to get all the glory. The Lord wants to move in power. The Lord wants to unite his church around his great commission of making sure that there's millions from every nation coming into the kingdom. So there is a scripture that might be coming up from Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 27 is a very well-known verse because Moses told Aaron that Jehovah God has commanded me that you, as high priest, are to always bless the people when you're with them. And you're supposed to bless them with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you, Aaron would say over the Israelites, right? The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Usually we stop there because that's the end of the blessing. But now listen to the results. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. You will put my name, God, Jehovah, Yahweh, on a people, and you'll keep on putting my name on them, and you'll be blessing them in my name, that I do my work among these people, and I will bless them. And so we're asking you to participate. We already have over 2,000 people that are beginning to pray for North Africa and Foursquare as we visit churches, and we're just putting the name of the Lord on the North Africans. And what's going to be the result? The Lord will bless them with salvation upon salvation. And then when we're all in heaven together, we're going to be hugging lots of Moroccans and Algerians and Tunisians and Libyans that we didn't know that the Lord used our prayer to send the healing, the dream, the vision, and we'll all celebrate together. And the Lord will receive all the praise and all the glory. So we are so grateful for this opportunity. Now, I always end the story by saying, and I say it kind of laughingly, in the story of the 900 men that came to the Lord, I want to be that second pastor, not the first one that got shot. However, if you or I were to die today, and we were to wake up in the Lord's presence today, would that be such a bad thing? If the Lord Jesus was going to give me a real hug, he hugs us here spiritually, but I've never gotten a physical hug from Jesus yet. But if he were to do that, I think that would be an okay day. So we don't fear. In the first century, they threatened him, and the apostles said, Lord, listen to their threats and give us boldness to proclaim your word. They had an eternal perspective. The most important thing is bringing people to Jesus. That's the most important thing. And Lord, we know something else, that no one can take our life until you permit it. They tried to take Jesus' life on many occasions. I love the way that they would try to take Jesus' life. They saw a cliff there. This is the perfect time to shove him off the cliff. And Jesus would just kind of invisibly walk right through him. The Father's time has not come. They tried to kill the Apostle Paul, and they threw rocks at him. That must have hurt. And he was on the ground, and they left him there dead. And a little while later, he shakes off the rocks and gets up. I don't think I'm done yet. So they could come after us or our other team members, but unless the Lord authorizes it, we're invincible. If we're in obedience and doing the Lord's will, he will watch over us, and he will accomplish great things. So we're going to North Africa physically. We're going to be setting up a base in Spain and then making trips to the different countries and training different teams from the nations. So even we're recruiting new people. They might be in their 20s or their 30s, and teaching them Bible, small group ministry, discipleship, and just beginning to start hitting groups just like they do in China. In China, the government would like to control the church, and they call that the government registered church. Then they have what they call the secret church. Those are the ones that meet secretly in homes, and they can read the Bible and fulfill all the scriptures, and there's no limitations. A couple months ago, in one of the government churches, a government official came in China, looked at the wall and saw the Ten Commandments, and he said, and that first one, you shall have no other gods before me. I don't like that one. Take it off the wall. He took away one of the Ten Commandments. They can do that in the government church. Another thing that they're doing is they say, we now want a Chinese Bible. So you have the Old Testament. In the middle of the Bible, you put Chinese culture, phrases from Confucius, to try to make them more Chinese than Christian. And they're going to require them to have a Chinese Bible. But in the hidden secret churches, they have the real Bible. They praise the Lord. They do whatever they want according to the scriptures. So in China, there were 100 of those groups that were secret, about 10 people meeting in a home, then 1,000, then 10,000, then 100,000, then a million groups. Now they think that there's 10 million groups of about 100 million people who secretly meet. Now, we need the Lord to do that again in North Africa. Know what makes evangelism so hard in North Africa? The Quran says that if you are a believer in Allah, you're a Muslim, and you turn from the faith, you should be executed. So that really puts a damper, that really limits evangelism. You save one, they kill one. You save one, they kill one. That makes it slow because you want the people who receive the Lord to share their faith. And oftentimes they don't kill them right away. But that is the law in the Quran. If you leave the faith, you should be executed. So what do? They meet secretly. And they share their faith quietly with their neighbors and their friends, and the Lord begins to save. And that's what we're asking the Lord to do. And we have the privilege to participate in this. And we have the way we participate is we pray and say, God, prepare hearts. Sometimes it seems like it's way, way far away. And it is far away. But there'll come a day when we'll be in heaven and we'll just be praising the Lord that we prayed and the Lord saved millions. I want to be part of that program. Amen? So there is a prayer card that you are given. And I want us to pray this prayer together. Pray this prayer together. It's the goodwill prayer. And this is just putting the name of the Lord on North Africa. And as a result, millions over time will be saved. So let's pray this in our strong, loud voice, our voice of faith, not a soft voice, but a declaration, the goodwill prayer. Let's say this together. Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, creator of all people, hear our prayer. Show your great mercy on the land of North Africa. Bless her bread and bless her water. Show your love by removing hatred, violence, and evil. Heal her land, O Lord. Let your spirit, O God, fill the minds, hearts, and souls of her people. Amen. This prayer was written, it's kind of a liturgical prayer, so that even if a Muslim were to get this prayer in their hands, it wouldn't be offensive. They believe in the Spirit of God. They believe that that God and the Spirit are one, but they don't believe that Jesus is the Lord. So when I pray this by myself without Muslims, I end it with, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, amen. But we don't put that in there for the Muslims, because once they see that, they don't listen anymore. We go in little by little, and the Lord accomplishes his purpose. So we have recruited, we're moving toward 3,000 people. And as I was on the airplane coming to your beautiful town yesterday, I was praying and I was reading the story of the centurion. And he told the Lord, come and heal my servant. And Jesus said, I'll go. He says, no, you don't need to come. I'm a man in authority. I tell this soldier to do this and he does that. I tell this one to say this and he says that. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And the Lord said, according to your faith, may it be done unto you. And as I was thinking about coming here this morning, I began to pray and also weep. I said, Lord, I want to see the people of North Africa saved. But it's as we believe together, because the project is so big. I can believe, but you know what the Lord says? One puts 1,000 to flight, but two put 10,000 to flight. One can pray over many things, but then sometimes the Lord says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And then when we pray by the tens and the hundreds and the thousands united in prayer, the power of God is released even further because there's power in agreement. The Lord created us to be in unity. He wants all people to love, all nations to love each other. That's the way God created us to be. So we so much need prayer so that God can move, or very little will happen. We even have some children that have filled out these cards. And what we're asking is for a prayer commitment. Listen to this prayer commitment. This is a praying church. So I'm not asking you to stop your prayer life. All I'm asking you is for the next year to tuck this little prayer in your Bible or put it on your refrigerator in your car and add 15 seconds to your prayer life. How many can do that? I'm asking, add this prayer over the course of a year and just say, Lord, I'm blessing North Africa. If you want to change some words, or if you're an intercessor and you begin to pray and make sure that Daniel and Susan don't get killed too fast. Pray that too. And you can add things like, Lord, send dreams. We know that you're using dreams. Send healings and miracles. But even if you were just to put the name of the Lord on North Africa and just add 15 seconds to your prayers, even children. We had a church we visited a couple weeks ago, and I had two children saying that they would pray. So they put their name down like this, little lines like that. They put their email address. They don't have any email address. It was just lines like that, and a phone number too. And we said, praise the Lord, they're praying. They can't write yet, but they're praying. So I don't know if up there where some of the children are, they got the cards too, but I'd love to have the cards upstairs because the Lord hears the prayers of children and youth and adults, everyone. So if you have a pen, I'm going to ask you, we don't need the phone number at the bottom. First of all, your name, just saying, I'll pray, I'll believe that North Africa is going to come to Jesus. And if you want updates, then you add your email. If you don't want to hear the progress, that's fine. If you want to stay private, that's fine. Just put your name there. But we hope that you put your email, because there's going to be, and it already started, a 3-year journey across North Africa. They're walking and praying and asking the Lord, give us 10,000 people to pray for North Africa. They made their first trip in Tunisia. They went into a tourist agency, and a young woman, Muslim, had received a dream and received Jesus while the team was there. Now, that's pretty fast to receive a convert in one day. But that was because we're praying. So for the next 3 years, there's going to be a walking journey across North Africa from Morocco to Cairo, Egypt. And they're saying, Lord, give us the place where we tread our feet. Lord, this land belongs to you. Jesus, you're the creator of heaven and earth. Everything that's on this earth belongs to you. So we're asking you, do it again, Lord. Do it again. And if you don't have a pen, maybe someone will let you borrow their pen. And just say, Lord, and you might forget. Maybe you forget. You don't pray every single day. But just the fact that every week you're declaring, Lord, send your dreams. Send your visions. We want to see millions from North Africa in your kingdom. The Lord will do it. Amen? Now, that's there. We want you to tear these apart. You can tear them in half because you have to keep the prayer. This part with the 3-year prayer journey and the prayer, you keep that part. And in a minute, we'll have you pass these to the aisle, and we just want the one with your name on it, and I'll collect those. So as we declare this prayer, yes, you can pass them to the aisles, and all our great workers, this is a church of workers, a church of servants. We'll collect those, and your hundreds of prayers added to the other prayers on the email will give you updates of salvation, breakthrough, healing, and the Lord's going to do great things through Fountain of Life, Living Word Church. You're all going to Africa with us in prayer. There's no distance in prayer. Amen. And pastor's already begun to support us financially too. So we're now not just any missionary, we're your missionary. And we're so glad to represent you. And should any of you ever arrive anywhere in North Africa or to Spain, we would love to have you in our home. Because the Lord is going to do something wonderful. Now let's talk a little bit about here, which I'm sure your pastors and leaders have said this over and over again, but there might be some of you who are kind of discouraged, like those who work among the Muslims. And now I'm talking about your family member, and I'm talking about your mother, father, uncle, brother, sister, or neighbor, or someone at work who has not received the Lord. Remember that not everyone comes to the Lord fast, but don't give up. Don't grow weary in doing well. When you speak the gospel to the Muslims, they say, no, 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 no. Sometimes for years until they say yes. So I'm believing that you also will do the same thing. You're praying for North Africa. You're praying for your family. And what you're doing is you're saying, Lord, I have some family members. Ooh, they're not going to receive you. They don't want to receive you. They don't know that they do want to receive you. A lot of people think they don't need the Lord till finally the Lord comes and they realize, I need the Lord. I want to tell you one more story because now I have friends. Now that I'm working in this part of the world, I have friends. And one of our workers, our Foursquare workers in Turkey, we've heard of the country of Turkey. That's also very Muslim. And I asked the pastor, how are the people in Turkey coming to the Lord in your church? He has a church, and there's Turkish people in the church and a lot of Syrian refugees. Those are the two main groups in his church, all Muslim. I said, how are they coming to the Lord? He told me, they're coming to the Lord through dreams. I said, really? How many? 80% of all the people in our church have had a dream before coming to the Lord. I said, well, it sure seems like the Lord's in the dream business, especially among Muslims, because they believe that the Lord speaks to them through dreams. Why? The Quran that they believe is perfect, they say it came down from heaven in Arabic, word for word, and Muhammad just recited it, and they wrote it in a book, and it's perfect, only in classic Arabic. So usually what happens when you go to a mosque, they read in classic Arabic, which no one understands, and then the leader tells them what to believe. I was raised Catholic. In the Catholic Church about 30 years ago, they read the Bible in Latin. No one could understand the Bible, so we'll read the Bible in Latin. No one understood. And then the priest told us what we should do. So when the Muslims come to the Quran, especially if they're reading it in Arabic, they memorize verses because if I memorize a verse, I'll get a blessing. I have no idea what it's saying. So they do not come to the Quran very often, like we come to the Bible for a devotional time and say, Allah, here I am reading your Quran. Speak to me. He hardly ever speaks to anyone through the Quran. He speaks to them through dreams. They all believe that Muhammad received a lot of dreams. They often say, Allah, I want to know you more. That's their term for God. Allah, I want to know you more. When they pray that, they're in trouble because Jesus often appears himself. So I said, you said in Turkey, 80% are coming to the Lord through dreams. Well, tell me the last dream. I want to hear. And he said, okay. A man came to my church. He had been seeking Allah and praying, Allah, I want to know you. And Jesus appeared to him in a white robe in a dream and said, I'm the one you're seeking. But he saw in the dream that his wife was sitting down in the living room with her arms crossed, and she wasn't happy. So he came to the church, and he said, can you explain to me this dream? And he said, have you been seeking God? Yes, I have been. Well, Jesus appeared. He's the man in the white robe. He died for your sins, died on the cross. He'll forgive all your sins, give you eternal life. Do you want to receive him today? Yes, I do. And he received the Lord. But he said, you know, Jesus is also prophetic. He knows everything. And he just gave you your first prophetic word, and that's this. Your wife is not going to be happy. Usually, like even the Bible says in Scripture, a father will be against the children against the father. That happened a lot in the Jewish community when people were getting saved and coming to Christ. The same thing happens there. The wife could turn him in to family members. He might lose his job, might be kicked out of the family. He would be an outcast. But the pastor went on to say, You know why the Lord showed you your wife's arms crossed like that? Because he said she's a special case, and now you and I get to pray for her. He's telling us in advance, this is going to be hard, but I've told you in advance so you begin to pray. So I'm going to agree with you in prayer. So after a month, the wife finally came to church. How did she come to church? Just like the dream. And she wasn't happy to be in church. Her faith is Islam. So he talked with her, and he's loving her now. Now the love of Jesus in his life. 1 month later, she comes back to the church. He's still crossing her arms and still not happy to be there. And that's where the story ends. Now I need to go and talk to him again and see where we're at. Sometimes the whole family comes together at once. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. But the Lord, through prayer just saying, save, Lord, save North Africa, the Lord will send dreams. And then we'll report, not 10, not 100, but thousands who've come to the Lord through our prayers. Amen? And the wonderful thing is then we all get to smile in heaven, because let me say this. When we come to church every Sunday, we lift our hands up and we worship the Lord and we say, thank you. We love you, Lord. Our life is different. Our family's different. Our jobs are different. Thank you, Lord. But then what can we do for the Lord? He does all these wonderful things for us. What can we do for him? Well, he made it real clear. He said, preach my gospel in the whole world and make disciples of all nations. That's how we tell the Lord, thank you for saving me, by praying and sharing our faith. So don't be discouraged if a family member has not received the Lord and you've tried for years. Sometimes you speak, sometimes you pray, but you continue to believe that that person will receive Jesus, because that's what the Lord wants. This is a great church. What makes a great church? You love the Lord, you pray, you worship, and you obey. So that's what we're all doing together. And one day in heaven, hopefully, we all have a nice mansion in heaven. And if anyone wants to come to my mansion and have a cup of coffee, I was telling Pastor that I love the verse in Isaiah. You'll like it too. It says in Isaiah, eat without pain. Isn't that wonderful? If you could just go to the best restaurant in town and say, I'm here according to Isaiah, and I've come to eat without pain. It doesn't work here on earth. But in heaven, it does. Eat without pain. So come to my house. I always have an abundance in heaven, and you can eat free. And then if you invite me to your house, I'll go also. Pastor, you want to come? We would like prayer, my wife and I. Well, you prayed for us already, but just keep us in your prayers. Thank you. The Lord is so good. Thank you for the opportunity. Love you.